Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and my co-host is Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network. If this is your first time tuning in to our show, we thank you so very much. To our longtime listeners, we thank you as well. We couldn't do it without you. It is February 2021. Family, can you believe it? We've made it past 1 month into 2021, and we are celebrating Black History Month. Don't know what you're doing, but every individual should be doing something to commemorate this wonderful occasion of our history. Veronica and I established this broadcast many, many years ago, and we just want to, again, to thank you for tuning in every Thursday night to hang out with us. So for the first-time listeners, Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long- and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. The Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated helps small nonprofit organizations develop and become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services, and we infuse stability in households, and we foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women and their families through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. We are dedicated to making a difference. Our mission is to create economic independence for all women and their families by providing a voice to those that would otherwise not be heard. ICW was created to encourage all to take charge of their lives and become educated and savvy about all aspects of life. So we are here tonight to talk about a few different topics, but of course I definitely want to welcome you again, and just start the program out talking a little bit about Black History Month. Again, if we're not talking about our history, then who's going to talk about it? We definitely should set aside some time during this month to put out posts, put out shout-outs, let the whole world know the accomplishments of our African-American community, because we are Black history. So I'm just here tonight, and I'm so delighted that you are here with me. One of the research pieces that I have been working on is from the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, which was established in 1915. And one of the things that they did establish was a Career in History Month. And so during that month, they always picked a theme. And the theme this year was the Black family. And so I want to bring Veronica on, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we look at Black History Month, understand its meaning, and know that it is all of our responsibility to educate all communities about our history. So, hey, Veronica, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Francine, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you, my sister. Glad to have you with me. So, Veronica, tonight I was talking about is Black History Month and thanking our audience for tuning in and hanging out with us. And I was telling them about one of the themes for the African American Studies group that I've been doing some research on is about the Black family. And what better segue to go into our program tonight to talk about it since it's Black History Month. And so I thought this would be a great way to segue in, and then we'll flip and talk a little bit more about business. But it is so important that we recognize who we are, because we are Black history. Get to 2021. We've come through a challenging year last year, and our family has been so important to us during this ever-changing time and this COVID-19 pandemic that we're still in and that we're still dealing with. So one of the things that I wanted to share tonight was the Black family and its representation, its identity, and its diversity. And one of the things that I was looking at when I was studying this, when it's talking about Black history, again, I have to keep saying that we are Black history because we are here, and we are product of our ancestors and going as far back as to Africa. I know, Veronica, you did some study on your family history. And so I thought it would be a great segue to talk a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of that Black family history that you discovered about your own family.
Yeah, this was it was trying. The reason I did it was really to connect with those that I did not know, you know what I mean? Because I think that oftentimes when we are really researching our history, it's not been 1,000 years ago that, you know, that we didn't have segregation, we didn't have Jim Crow laws, my mother was born in 1918. So when you think about that 1918 to 2021, you know, we know that there is lots of family members that we don't know about. I don't even know on my mother's side and my father's side my great-great-great-grandparents. And so the purpose for me for doing that hereditary test or that DNA test was really to find out more about the diversity of the family that I'm in. And it was just exciting because you find out that there are family members that you did not know, and then there are family members that of another race, and that's always eye opening or what have you. And in doing the DNA test, I found out that I was related to Nelson Mandela, and it was crazy. I mean, you know, when the test came back, and it took us all the way back. And then letting me know that, you know, we have a lot of roots in Nigeria. And so I think as we talk about this Black History Month, really I was seeing somebody that he was saying that really the month of February was selected for us, but it really should be Black history throughout the year. And how
Absolutely.
Do we incorporate that in our family so that our children are getting a healthy dose of it? And not just a dose, you know, every February we're going to talk about Black History Month. I think that it has to be that ongoing sharing and passing down the folklore. Sometimes you have stuff that is not in books, is that your nana told you all when you all a little girl, and then her grandma told her, and it's just passing down those stories of the family. And then some people are blessed to have pictures. I've not had pictures of way, 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 way back. I don't even have pictures of my mom when she was a young woman. So it's so important, Francine, that I thank you for this show in terms of the Black family, that we connect and then understand in terms of the Black family or Black history, that Black history is it expands beyond February, and we have to really look at how are we making sure that the contributions of the unsung heroes, our grandmas, our great-grandmas who were field workers, indentured servants, pick cotton, all that stuff, how do we carry on their legacy and their name? So for me, it was eye-opening to find that out, but still so much more research needs to be done, Francine.
Absolutely. And the Black family has been a topic of study for, you know, since the beginning of time. And it has many, many layers to it, not just the history, but the literature, the visual arts, the films, and the programs that have been depicted throughout time. And so its representation, its identity, and its diversity is somewhat of a way for us to take that look back, even from the days of slavery and even beyond that, because we weren't always slaves. So we have to know our history. So we don't want our children to think that we came from slavery, because we did not. There were many kings and queens, and even in my own family, as far back as we've gone so far, because a lot of times when you're trying to do the family history, there are some family members that tell you you need to leave that alone because there's some things they really don't want you to talk about in the Black community. And so we've gone far back as far as our ancestry to England. And so we haven't gotten all the way to Africa yet. And so we're still working on that. But it was so amazing to find out that that was our origin from England,
right,
then to Boston, then to North Carolina, and then to Virginia. So we all have our history, and the history spans the globe because it just doesn't end here in the United States. It's all across all nations and continents. And so we have to be open to that. And so we have to look at the family as a whole and as a big picture and not just the small little parts that we know, just our little family dynamics here in Virginia, because our families expand so much further than that. And one of the things that has been important to me, because family is important to me, Veronica, and I know that it's important to you, and like you said, we don't have a lot of pictures. We don't have a lot of things to go back and look at. I know there are some families who kept up with everything, and they have pictures of their great, you know, grandparents, and we don't have that. I think we only go back to my great-grandmother on my mother's side, and we do have a picture of their mother. And, you know, we know all of their names, but I don't have any pictures. So we were hoping and that through conversations within our own families. And see, most of my family has, the older generation has passed on. I'm one of the old people now, you know. And so whatever I didn't get from my grandmother, she has taken to her grave. And if your parents didn't talk to you about certain things, you missed a lot. And even when my mother-in-law was living, she lived to be 100 years old. Do you know how much history that lady has, you know? And her grandchildren missed the opportunity to sit at her feet and to learn the history of the family, which is so, so sad. We can't get any of that back. And so now it is up to us as being, for me, the old person in the family, to make sure that my children know and their children know and their children's children know what it's like. And so that's why I take so many pictures now. That's why it is important to me wherever I go that there is a documentation of what is actually going on. I know my family probably thinks I just want to be in a photograph. No, I want to have that information to be available, because when they say, well, what happened in 2020, you know, with that election, they'll have pictures of me and my husband, and us going out and vote and us standing in line, you know, all of those things which are important, that I have none of those pictures. I know that my mom was of the era when Martin Luther King was very prominent in the civil rights movement, because I was a little girl, but I remember her crying when John F. Kennedy died, and I didn't understand why she was crying about that man at the time, but as I got older, I knew. And then when Martin Luther King passed away, she cried. But I even remember talking to her about that, and you know, and what it meant to her as a Black woman. So all of that I have within me that I have shared with my children, and they can share with their children. So it's so important, the Black family is so important. It's so important that we don't lose our identity. We all didn't come over on a slave ship. And I just, and I've seen pictures of that ship, and that's, you know, a lot of our family members did come that way, but some of them did not. Some came on a boat, a regular boat, you know, and made their way over to Boston and were very prominent in the community. And so we need to tell those stories as well. So I thought we would just start with that tonight, Veronica, because family is so important. And as we look at the pandemic, and we're losing so many of our family members, and I just implore everyone to have those conversations with your family. Find out as much history as you can why the older members are still living, so that you don't lose that identity, because what's going to happen is we won't be able to identify our heritage if people don't continue to talk about us. And if we don't talk about us, who is going to talk about us? Who can tell our story better than us? Because you know, when films were being made, before, they were being made by others. They were not being made mm-hmm. by us. And so now it's time for us to tell our stories and tell the truth about how we actually got here and where we actually begun. So that took up the whole first 15 minutes of the program, which I knew that it would. And so I just wanted to start with that because it is Black history. We are Black history. We need to tell our own stories. And our history does not end in February. Just like Veronica said, our history is 365 or 366 days per year. Please do not lose your identity, and please represent the Black family. So enough of that. So, Veronica, can you share any news with us about something that you're doing or a project that you're working on that you would want to share with our audience tonight?
Well, this year I had decided you know, that I was really going to be focused, and boy, did this year come in, and I, you know, I'm already, you know, fighting in the year for the things that I want to do, fighting for family, and had some issues with my son, and excuse me, and I really, really, really think 2020 for the revelation of the things that it revealed to me, specifically about business, about family, about life, about everything in general. And so I said for this year that I really was going to focus on two projects and just let that those projects ride for 2020. And for one project, we are providing WISA services. WISA stands for Work Incentive Special Advocate, and that's where we're providing benefits planning for individuals who have disabilities but who want to go to work. And I use the service on my own son for because I had to do a case file review, and he, you know, he has gastroparesis and had been out on using disability. Oh, I know every bit 10 years. And he kept saying, I want to work, you know, but the debilitating stomach and all that stuff was creating an issue for him being in a work environment for a long time because he couldn't rest and all that stuff. But anyhow, long story short, I was able to do a case file review on him. He started working for Amazon on a part-time basis and from part-time to full-time. And so it was intriguing to me to say, hey, if this is my son who's like this, there are hundreds, and all of us know many people who are getting SSI or SSDI checks, some who basically can't live off of that, but they're so afraid that they're going to lose their check if they decide to go to work. They don't understand that there are so many incentives that are available to them that they can go to work and get their check as well. And so this year we're really focusing in on that benefits planning for those individuals. And then the other part would be basically just training and coaching, kind of moving away from helping people in the formations of nonprofits because that's taken a lot of the I realized last year how much time it took, you know, helping somebody to get through that process. And so I said, well, let me just drill it down and focus on two specific things in this year. So for us, it really is that and then our community programs that we have that we introduced when we did the Beyond the March, just really focusing in on making sure that initiative continues along with those two other services that we're going to be providing for 2021. And we'll see how it's going to go, Francine, but I knew for myself for 2020-21, I really had to, you know, sort of kind of look at what did you learn from 2020, and that's what I would say to our listening audience. What did you learn from 2020, and you keep on growing from there.
Absolutely, because the one thing that we knew was that this would be not just a short-term period of time and this thing would go away. You could see it from the beginning because it hit us all like gangbusters. Mm. I don't know anybody who's ready for this. And, you know, I think Bill Gates, he might have been the only one, you know, who had talked about, you know, a pandemic, you know, that I had even heard mention something about that, you know, because we know that people – you know, we'll foretell different things, but you know, you listen and you're like, okay, well, that's interesting, but you move on. So this thing last 2020 took us all and knocked us all down like a bowling ball going full force down the lane and knocked all the pins down. You know, it was nobody left standing. And we all had to get back up, brush ourselves off, and figure out how we were going to get through this crisis, which, you know, is what it is, and it still is, and people are in crisis. But the one, mm-hmm. the saddest part of all of this, and looking back at 2020, and I know we don't want to dwell on that for a long period of time, but the injustice and the inequality is still mm-hmm. happening within mm-hmm. our communities. You know,
oh,
we
yeah.
can march till doomsday. We can put the signs up. We can write on the chalk marks on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example is the little 9-year-old girl who was pepper sprayed in the back of the police car in handcuffs. Blew
mm-hmm.
my mind. Should not, you know, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I also know that something has to be done because this is a more than likely a mental health issue. We have to
mm-hmm.
stop calling the police for mental health issues. There
mm-hmm.
should be a task force in place where if somebody's child is acting out or their husband, like a man, he walks out of his house and he's murdered right in front of his family because he
mm-hmm.
has a mental health issue. There are things that we can do as a community. And again, like I said, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but we have to speak truth. When we're talking about our families, this goes right back into that. These are our
right.
children and our husbands and our sons who are being murdered. And there's no way to get around it. I know that the young lady, you know, being 9 years old, she is a child. She even told the officer, I'm a child, I'm acting out. But she still did not deserve to be treated that way. And I
mm-hmm.
also was a bit unnerved that the mother actually called the police, and it took all of those police officers to come for a 9-year-old. You know, why couldn't they wait for the ambulance to come, you know, try to calm the
yeah.
situation down? But, again, they're not trained. And so the one
mm-hmm.
thing that, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, Veronica, is because of Title VI. There is something
mm-hmm.
in place that can deter police officers from killing our family members. But nobody seems to be talking about that, and it's just really a mystery to me. They talk about defunding the police. So if
right.
you kill a defenseless man, woman, or child, and your department continues to pay you, that's a reward for you committing murder. So something
right.
really has to be done. And as we look into this thing and as we go into 2021, I know that's because we're going to do the Kids Academy. So that's why I'm
mm-hmm.
bringing this up, because our children
mm-hmm.
also need to be educated on this as well as the parents. When the
right.
mental health issue is so prevalent in all of our communities, not just African-American communities, but all communities, it has to be something put into place where the police is not the first one on the scene. And if
right.
he is the first one, then he needs to stand down until a mental health personnel can get there and defuse the situation. They are killing our families. And the other thing is, too, and I talk about this because I am in finance. I sell life insurance, but I do other products as well. We don't value our families as we should, because
mm-hmm.
you'll get protection on your car, on your refrigerator, or your cell phone, get any protection on your children and on your
right.
husband and on your wives.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, again,
mm-hmm.
a mystery to me. Because one thing that will also stop the police from killing us, if we got million-dollar policies on our man,
mm-hmm.
the insurance company will say, look, you got to stop killing these brothers because these women are racking up.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm laughing
mm-hmm.
because, but it's not funny, but it makes me
yep.
I'm unnerved by it all, but it makes you think, because if we valued ourselves, then they would value us more. And that's what
mm-hmm.
we have to focus on in 2021, the value of our family. See, it's not about me selling an insurance policy. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to make money whether I sell an insurance policy or not. It's not about that,
mm-hmm.
but it's about us
right.
putting value on our families, knowing what's important to us. Until we do that, then they're never going to value us. And I
exactly.
and I just have to say that because I've been studying this thing for a couple of years now, and I see that something has to be done. So
mm-hmm.
To change the subject just a little bit, because I know it's getting deep, but Veronica, I know that you, because you want to do the academy with the kids, I want you to talk a little bit about what that will look like for our young people and what age group are you going to start with.
Yeah, I think the deepness of the conversation is necessary. That mental health piece is big, and that's year three is part of that conversation where we want to look at mental health and policing and all of that stuff. And then you touched upon something, Francine, and I know you asked me about the Kids Academy, but I just could not say this. I think that when it comes to making sure that our families are taken care of and covered, I think it is important that, I thought about this earlier, the church talks a lot about tithing and the 10%, but it's not talking about the 90% that people need to live off of. And that 90% that people need to live off of would be insurance and investments and learning how to budget and financial management and all that stuff, and understanding that buying purses that's $900 and shoes that's $1,000 because they're $2,000 because they got red bottoms. All of that stuff depreciates. I learned that from, you know, in here when we had that crazy explosion electrical thing in the first of the year. That stuff depreciates so quickly that it means nothing. You know, you pay $1,200 for a refrigerator. You had it for four years. You're lucky if you get $200 from your insurance company on it. So I'm saying that we literally need to be doing a segment, Francine, just on that. But in terms of the Kids Academy is really out of that conversation that we had with the kids when they did that conversation with the police. And we want an interactive kind of program where kids are going to be involved in advocacy and understanding how to handle a weapon or what not to do or what have you. And so that program is going to launch in the summer, because initially we thought it was going to launch earlier, but because of the pandemic and social distancing and people wanting to make sure things are okay, and hopefully that we'll have enough vaccine in people to be able to do something a little bit more in person, because we don't want this to be Zoom, because kids are not learning on Zoom. We're finding that out as well. And so we got to do that. So it is going to be a 12-week program, interactive program with community leaders and all of that stuff, but it is going to be from the voices of children, and that age group is going to be two age groups, the same age group that we did in the conversation, that 8 to 11-year-old and that 12 to about 15, 16-year-old group, and just to see how they want to roll this thing out. And so we'll start with a kids advisory board, and they're going to give us direction on moving forward.
Absolutely wonderful. And a part of that program, I definitely want to hit on the financial piece somewhere along the way, so that and we need to start as early as middle school to educate our children about finances, about saving for college. We know that our young people, those who are pursuing careers, they're not just getting master's now, they're getting PhDs. They come out of college with this enormous amount of debt. And there are ways to deter that debt, but they have to be taught those ways. And so until we get a grip on all of these things, we're going to still be talking about this next year and the year after and the year after. And I don't want to be doing that. I want to be talking about how well our communities are doing. And we know it's not going to happen in one day, in one year, but we know it's a process, and it has to start somewhere, and it starts with us.
Exactly.
Because, again, just as I said when we came on, and as you stated as well, Black history is 366 days a year. We have to work towards these initiatives if we're ever going to see change. And the economic piece is so very important.
It's huge.
And again, it is. And if I can teach you how to save money all day long, but I also got to teach you how to make money. And that's the other part of it. You know, you can save the money, but if you don't know how to make it, you save it, and then as soon as you get broke, you're going to spend it. You know,
so or you go to college and get a PhD, and you in $200,000 of debt, and you come out of college and work for someone that's only paying you $60. And so I think entrepreneurship is the way to go, but we got to have that pathway to get there. And so, it's so important, Francine. We literally need to be doing like a series on all of this stuff.
We do.
We're
a
radio series, break it up into parts.
Yes. We're gonna work on it, and I'm doing some things on the radio side as well. So we want to come back as we go into spring, and hopefully again, you know, the you know, the covering that's over us will rise so that we can all get out a little bit more and participate mm-hmm. more in the community. And again, some of these things can't, they won't be received on Zoom. They have to be face-to-face learning.
Exactly.
So we're looking forward to that. And I'm, you know, and I'm ready already and geared up to go. And so, Veronica, we have come to the end of our show.
I know.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much, my sister. I really, really appreciate all your insight and all the wonderful things that you do in the community. So if somebody needs to reach you, give them your information, and then we're going to shut it down.
We are shut it down with info@the Micro Nonprofit Network is my email, and then you can go to our website at www.micrononprofitnetwork.org or 572-0974 is my phone number.
Absolutely wonderful. And I'm icwdirector@gmail.com or it is blacktopbusiness.com or 757-567-6734. Leave me a text and a name. Thank you so much. We love you guys. We'll see y'all next week. Have a blessed week. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.